The Hemet Product Trade Association, this is an outline of what we're going to talk about today, the purpose and foundation of the association. We're going to talk about some of the new definitions that the association has championed through the AFCO. We're going to talk about the test method and some rule changes on humic substances and humic acids by state. As Dan mentioned, the Hemet Product Trade Association was founded in 2010. The Hemet Product Trade Association is a group of manufacturers, 40 of us, and leading manufacturers in the United States and the world. There's the website there. If you want any information about the Trade Association, a little more about what we're doing, any of the member companies can also be found there. Information about joining, membership, all of those things, and interacting with the association. Humic substances are used in a lot of different industries, dietary supplements, cosmetics, animal feeds, some new cool things being done with nanotechnology. Also some industrial applications, industrial drilling muds and remediation in situ treatments in the soil. I think the topic we're most interested in today, obviously, is the soil amendments. Now, the industry in soil amendments has grown steadily for the past, for my company alone, the past 15 years. The average growth for most humic acid manufacturers, we did a survey with the Green Markets Fertilizer Group, and the average growth in the humic product industry was 13% per year for each company. So it's definitely a growing market, a growing industry for those crop advisors that are learning more about these products as they see them pop up. So it's a good time to get appraised of these products and what they can do in the industry. So we're going to talk about humic substances as a soil amendment and with fertilizers. So how are these crop professionals using humic substances? You'll see it used as a granular material. You'll also see it spread as a soil amendment. You'll see it mixed with fertilizers, banded in row and also broadcast. So some people are putting it two by two in a row with starter fertilizer, things like that. You'll also see it in a liquid application, mixed with fertilizer, and also a foliar application sprayed on. So solid application, as I mentioned, it's been put out as a powder and a granule. Some of the product has been micronized to go through like drip irrigation, things like that, but also spread as a granule product that's been granulated or sold as a chip product. Usually when they're mixing with fertilizer, the most common ones you see are a majority of your macronutrients and micronutrients that the humic acid can work well with. Humic acids have a high cation exchange capacity, so they do have an affinity to attach some of those nutrients. Phosphorus is one, some of the heavy metals, or some of the metal ions like iron, manganese, zinc, also you see blended with humic acid. Liquid applications, you see it usually used in the field with liquid nitrogen, like a 28 solution or a 3200, very commonly blended, particularly in the western United States. I don't know how much they're doing in the corn belt with humic acid and 32 solution, but we see that a lot in the Idaho area. We also see 10-34-0 and some of those other liquids blended with humic acid, and both those do quite well. You see some other biostimulants added to humic substances, microbial inoculants and things like that. You seem to see in the field, and some of the presentations you'll see later, increased microbial attachment and with the presence of humic acid, and there should be some good data on that. There's also some soluble powders that are typically used in sprays, and that's the majority of how these professionals are using these products. I mentioned some of these, what we call the dealer cocktail, how people are blending the humic acid, 32 I mentioned, and the one thing they do see, a reduced salting out and also a reduction in burn. And particularly we see that on the crops where you're spraying late, like wheat, for example. You want to try to reduce that burn late on the wheat crops. The other reasons for using it is to try to reduce the tie-up. Those pop-up fertilizers seem to do a little bit better in the presence of humic substances. So that's another reason to add humic acid to the what we call the dealer cocktail. Fulvic acid, typically included as a foliar, mixed with micronutrients and foliar sprays. We've also seen increased uptake of some of the herbicides, such as glyphosate. And it can, like I mentioned, it can be mixed with other inoculants. So this is a partial list of observed benefits related to humic substances. Some of these researchers are in the room. You can see here Dr. Bayagadari, Mir. He saw some yield increase, crop quality increase, and you see his presentation later on that information. A lot of these are fairly consistent. Yield uptake, phosphorus availability, a consistent trend on when humic acid isn't present with those nutrients. So again, a partial list. This is readily available through our trade association. If you want any of these information, we're happy to point you to other research. There's Dr. Oak may also present several other research papers that are not on this list. So humic substances, obviously, it's kind of a pun, dark past, you know, these dark products, but there was lack of standardization in the industry. And lack of standardization causes inequality of products. So people are using products that may not have been a good humic product. So here's some of the problems that were previously presented by most of the industry is, you know, adulterated fake products. If it was black, it was humic, and you know, some guys said it did work on some occasions, but they really didn't have a good standard to test against. Also, varied definitions. There was broad definitions that some people were including multiple products that weren't even humic substances, and I'll mention that in the next slide here. And also inconsistent state regulation. One state might have a rule, and you go across the state border and have another rule. How did the 35% product compare to the 70% product? So a lot of confusion and caused in the industry by these state regulations. So this is a list of a few of the products that are being sold out there in the industry as humic substances. Paper pulping byproducts, soybean extracts, lignosulfonates, molasses, coal, and even biochar. All these products are being purported as a humic substance. Now, while some of these may be very beneficial biostimulants, they're not humic substances. So there was a concerted effort by the Trade Association to develop standards and testing methodologies to parse these adulterants out of the product. So I put up one slide here. This is just a Lewis structure. And now this is, if you go to the Humic Product Trade Association, this is one we throw up just as an example of a humic acid molecule. If you go to the IHSS, you're going to see a very strong debate about this Lewis structure. So don't take this as the exact Lewis structure of a humic molecule, but just an example. And what you want to see here is on the left, a lot of aromatic or carboxyl groups, and on the right, you see some more aromatic rings. And the aromatic rings are part of the biochar, and that visually, when you look at these products very closely, as a Lewis structure, you can see, wow, they definitely look different. But in your hands, in a bag, they're both black, they're both powdery. It would be hard to discern the difference. They act a little bit differently. They're created differently. Humic substances are the result of a biological degradation in nature, whereas biochar is more created by a pyrolysis process. So, again, the intent was for the Humic Product Trade Association to assist consumers in learning the difference in these products. So I'm going to kind of cruise through some of the definitions. These definitions are now in the official publication of the American Association of Plant Food Control Officials. The acronym there is APCO. We have definitions now for humic acids, humates, humic substances, fulvic fraction, and hydrophobic fulvic acids. So there's the humic acid definition and humates. Again, I'm not going to read these in full, but you can access these through the OP of the AFCO, and the OP is the official publication. Obviously a very long definition, but that one, we wanted to make sure that people had the information and know where these products are coming from. So both these definitions didn't exist prior to the association's efforts. Again, the fulvic acid and hydrophobic fulvic acid, prior to that, these definitions didn't exist. So what's different about the new hydrophobic fulvic acid? Previously, all those components that were floating around in solution were considered fulvic acid, and now we're binding that hydrophobic fraction, and that's removing some of the hydrophilic components that were considered adulterants. I won't go over this in a detail about how we parse that out with a resin, but the things we're actually trying to take out, some of the sugars, amino acids, proteins, and carbohydrates, those things that aren't humic substances. So the humic acid test does require, in different states, they're not using the method, and some are. So you're seeing a transition period between the states as they're bringing on this new rule. So be appraised that not every state has the new rules approved by APCO in place. I'm going to give an example here. There is another test out there, such as a colorimetric, and here there was some work done by Lamar and Talbot that showed that, you know, some of these products tested almost half in humic acid results. This is a product that my company manufactures. We ran two different tests. So if you'll see on the far side there, you see two different numbers, 11.5% or 11.45%, and then 6.52%. And this is the same product. So depending on which test you ran, you could have as 12 or 6% humic acid. And that's got to be confusing for the consumer wanting to buy a certain dollar value per active ingredient. And it's very unfair and deceptive to those trying to make that value purchase proposition. So the lack of standard by these states is really causing a lot of confusion to the consumers and those doing research. You know, let's say you're comparing two products, one's a 12%, one's a 6%, and the 6% performs just as good as the 12. Or you as a researcher are going to say, okay, this one was less active ingredient but yielded the same results. Well, it could have been the same amount of active ingredient. And that's been the problem with the humic substances in the past. So this is the approved test method. AFCO has that now as an official method. Some states are slowly adopting this, and you'll see that transition period over the next few years. So hopefully in 4 or 5 years, we'll have most of the states on board with a new method. And that way, those manufacturers and consumers are being educated about the new method. So the one thing that the Trade Association has done is developed a seal. And this seal is to indicate to the consumers that the product has the new method. When you see this seal, you know that product has the same test method, and you can compare like products now. You can flip over a bag and say, this product's 6%, this product's 12%, they both have a seal. I know they're tested on the same method, and there's no confusion. So it's been a lot of work by the Trade Association to get this far. Test methods, definitions, methodologies, and adoption by state is not a quick process. We started in 2010, and here it's 2017. We're slowly seeing some states adopt this process. So we're happy to see the progress we have, and just look for this mark in the future as it becomes available to consumers. So that's my presentation about the Trade Association. I'm happy to field any questions if there's time available.
This is your best chance to ask questions about the industry in general, where we are in the industry, the market, so forth.
And we have about 7 minutes to do it.
Oh, I heard. I apologize. I was trying to race through my slides. I didn't want to run long. Go ahead.
Just from anecdotal experience, I've seen it seems like humic acid seem to help with herbicide control, especially like with Liberty. And I don't know if you, is there any effort to try to characterize that or see if that's true or not, the use of humic acid as an adjuvant?
So the Humic Product Trade Association is kind of in a quandary as far as dealing with EPA and EPA claims. So as you're all aware, any substance that can accelerate plant growth, retard plant growth, affect maturation early or late, or you know, cause any metabolite to quit or begin, is considered a pesticide. And so for humic products that are accelerating plant growth, we have to be careful in the claims we make, because it brings us into a pesticidal claim. There are currently exemptions for EPA for pesticidal claims, and so most of the manufacturers are kind of towing that line. The closer we get to making those pesticidal claims would require registration as a pesticide. So I don't know of any manufacturers that are directly doing that work as an adjuvant for pesticides, but we see a lot of dealers doing it. We see a lot of dealers seeing success with it. Excellent question, though.
Where do you see the market going in general? Do you see continued growth?
Yeah, so I'm also got an MBA, and there's certain things you look for in fragmented markets as an investor. And consolidation in the industry is one. So you do see some smaller companies getting purchased by larger companies now. You do see better standardization of testing. Trade associations, new entrants and Me Too products. All those are indicators of a growing market. And you're seeing that. You're seeing soybean extract, like, hey, I want to be fulvic acid too. And the reason is they're growing. There's people walking into these dealers and these researchers and saying, hey, I want this. I want to learn how it's working. And so that's going to be more of a trend for both researchers and people selling these products. I think a lot of extension agents are being faced with farmers coming and saying, hey, what's this black stuff and how do I use it?
Russell, what percent of market penetration do you think the humics have?
In aggregate, I think very low in row crops. The industry that's, I'll joke and say it's a growing industry, but the cannabis industry is very far ahead in using humic products. They realize that there is some signaling, I don't want to call it a hormone-like response, but Dan will call it that. There is a response that we're seeing at very small levels. And so the cannabis industry is definitely growing. I think the one industry that has the most trajectory, in my opinion, is row crops. I think the corn and soybean guys will use these products and realize that, you know, their precision ag that they've been working very hard on, this will help them find those few extra bushels. And it might be marginal, you know, but increasing the effective use of that input to a crop such as a corn or soybean, I think, is the biggest growing trend in humic products.